Today, another dose of hopium kicks markets higher. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market update. Well, US stocks rose broadly in the last trading day before a long weekend, despite painfully slow progress on debt ceiling negotiations and disappointing inflation data. Chip stocks surged for a second straight day on optimism about artificial intelligence. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index jumped 6.3%, bringing its gain for the past two sessions to over 13%. And building on recent euphoria relating to AI, Marvel Technology jumped 32% after the chipmaker said it would double its annual revenue related to AI, and Nvidia stock climbed 2.5%, adding to its 24% gain on Thursday following its blowout forecasts and elevating its stock market value to around $960 billion. Investors were watching closely the debt ceiling talks as Biden and McCarthy still seemed at odds over several issues heading into the long weekend, with the stock market closed on Monday for the Memorial Day holiday. But strategists warned that there was still a prospect of a sell-off if debt ceiling negotiations broke down. And it's worth remembering that any agreement would also have to pass the Republican-controlled House of Representatives and the Democratic-controlled Senate, with the June 1 deadline fast approaching. The outcome of any resolution will probably amount to a fiscal contraction that's not entirely priced in by the market, said Indrita Mitra, head of Asia Macro and Investment Strategy at BNY Mellon. When you're trying to rebuild cash balances like crazy, that build-up sucks out liquidity at a time when the markets have kind of whistled past the graveyard a little bit. That said, they are likely nearing a deal to increase the government's $31.4 trillion debt limit for 2 years or so, while capping spending on most items. All the signs point to a deal getting done and this rally being sustained if we get through the weekend and we don't have a deal. But if we get through the weekend and we don't have a deal, or it falls apart in some way, then we're going to wake up on Tuesday morning to some pretty material losses, said Scott Lander, Chief Investment Officer at Horizon Investments. Anyway, the S&P 500 climbed 1.3% to 4,205. The Nasdaq gained 2.19% to 12,975. While the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1% to 33,093. This means the Dow Jones Industrial Average ended a five-day losing streak, while the Nasdaq Composite and S&P 500 closed at their highest levels since August 2022, with the S&P 500 above the 4,200 level. And for the week, the S&P 500 rose 0.3%, the Dow fell 1%, and the Nasdaq jumped 2.5%. But data showed that US consumer spending increased more than expected in April, and inflation picked up, which could prompt the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates again next month. And importantly, a measure of inflation most closely watched by Federal Reserve officials picked up in April, reflecting the difficult path ahead for economic policymakers as they weigh whether to raise interest rates again or bring down stubborn price increases. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Index climbed 4.4% in April from a year earlier versus a forecast of 3.9%. That was a slight increase from March, when prices climbed 4.2% on an annual basis. And prices are not climbing as fast as they were in February, when the index rose 5.1% on an annual basis. For the month of April itself, though, it jumped 0.4% as expected, and versus a prior expansion of 0.1%. But core PCE, that strips out volatile food and energy prices, gained 4.7% on an annualized basis versus the hoped for and previous rate of 4.6%. As a result of this, Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland President Loretta Mester said she wouldn't rule out raising interest rates again next month after the disappointing progress on inflation. Everything is on the table in June, Mester, who doesn't vote in the rate decision this year, said on Friday. Inflation is still too high and it's stubborn right now. When I look at the data and what I look at is what's happening with the inflation numbers, I do think we're going to have to tighten a bit more, she said. Even if the US is able to avoid the worst case scenario of payment delays and a default, we believe that Fitch may still downgrade the US rating to AA+, citing political brinkmanship and an unsustainable debt path, said strategists Goldberg and McCown in the note on Friday. We still have inflation, we still have higher interest rates, and that will continue to be an overhang for the market until the Federal Reserve goes to the sidelines, said David Sadkin, president of Bel Air Investment Advisors. Inflation is a problem and the consumer remains red hot, economist Adam Button said on the Forex Live Forum. The Fed is going to hike again, and now the odds are 58-42 for June, and July is 100% with a slight chance of another hike. At some point, the Fed will have to pause and evaluate, but we're lapping some very high energy numbers now, and it's not enough to get inflation to a 3-something handle. At a minimum, the Fed needs to start seeing some monthly numbers around 0.3% or lower. On the markets, Ford Motor Company jumped 6.2% after the automaker signaled a deal allowing customers to access more than 12,000 Tesla superchargers in North America in early 2024. Tesla jumped 4.7%. Ulta Beauty plummeted 13.4% after the cosmetic retailer cut its annual operating margin forecast, and Paramount Global rallied 5.9% after the media conglomerate's controlling shareholder National Newsmans received a $125 million investment. Yields are all over the place on treasuries, with a 2-year down 0.45% but to 4.568%, and the 10-year down 0.31% to 3.795%, suggesting the inversion signal of a recession is still very much in play. Over in Europe, European stock markets traded in a mixed fashion on Friday, helped by better-than-expected British retail sales data, while a deal to raise the debt ceiling in the US looked to be at least going down to the wire. The DAX index in Germany closed at 15,983, up 1.2%. The CAC 40 in France rose 1.24%, and the FTSE in the UK climbed 0.74% to 7,627. Gilts remained in stratospheric territory, though, up 0.66% to 4.5185 on the 2-year, signalling higher mortgage rates and more Bank of England rate hikes. We're now back at levels seen last year during the trust crisis. The latest ONS data showed that retail sales in the UK rose 0.5% in the month of April. That was more than expected, with consumers remaining surprisingly resilient in the face of a cost of living squeeze. But the gap between value and volume accelerated, highlighting people are paying bigger prices for the same goods. That's an important signal about embedded inflation. By the way, sales had slumped 1.2% in March when heavy rain kept people at home. And overall sentiment remains weak after Thursday's data showed a surprise 0.3% drop in German gross domestic product during the first 3 months of 2023, a second straight quarterly retreat and thus a recession in the region's largest economy. But as I discussed, the region's central bankers show no signs of slowing their prolonged aggressive monetary tightening cycles. In order to banish the spectre of inflation, we in the Eurosystem have acted resolutely, Bundesbank President Joachim Nagel said on Thursday. The ECB Governing Council will continue on. Lufthansa stock edged lower after the German airline announced on Thursday that it will take a 41% stake in ITA Airways as it looks to compete with low-cost airlines in the wake of costly COVID-19 pandemic problems. And Total Energy's stock fell 0.4% after several hundred climate activists attempted to disrupt the oil major's annual shareholder meeting. Now, over in Asia, Japanese stocks moved back towards a 33-year high on Friday, outpacing their Asian peers amid increased optimism about chip-making stocks, while Chinese markets lagged as investors fretted over slowing economic growth and worsening US ties. Broader Asian stocks also ticked lower in anticipation of more clues on the US debt ceiling and the potential default. The Nikkei 225 rose 0.37% and was trading just below its 33-year highs hit earlier in the week after the positive earnings from US chipmaker Nvidia boosted local stocks that were exposed to the firm. The broader topics added 0.2% and also moved back towards a 33-year peak. Semiconductor testing equipment maker Advantest Corp. jumped 5.1% to a record high, while chip makers Tokyo Electron and Diapon Screen Manufacturing surged 6% and 9% respectively. Japanese stocks also benefited from a weaker than expected inflation print for Tokyo that could herald more weakness in nationwide inflation and keep the Bank of Japan dovish. Optimism over Nvidia spilled into other chip-heavy indices. The Taiwan Weighted Index rose 1.2%, buoyed by gains in TSMC, while South Korea's KOSPI ended up 1.6% higher on strength of Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix. China's Shanghai Composite was up 0.35% on Friday, but is still more than 2% down over the week as worsening ties between Washington and Beijing battered sentiment towards Chinese markets. China's banning of local sales of US chipmaker Micron Technology this week drove up fears of a renewed trade war between the two countries, although US officials said the move had not torpedoed relations. Rising COVID-19 cases and slowing economic growth also kept investors wary of China, with a new outbreak set to peak by late June. Weak economic indicators for April showed that growth in the country was slowing despite the lifting of anti-COVID measures earlier in the year. And assets in Asia will be especially vulnerable next week because they will be the first to react when they open on Monday, as the US will be shut for a holiday, especially if the debt ceiling news is bad. Now, May is turning out to be a mixed month for oil bulls despite two straight weeks of gains. New York West Texas Intermediate, or WTI, crude settled on Friday up 1.45% to $72.87 a barrel. WTI had slumped 3% in the previous session, but still managed to finish up 1.6% on the week after last week's rise of 2.2%. London traded Brent crude, the global benchmark for oil, settled at 1.13% to $77.12. Brent finished the week up 1.9%, and that's the same as the last week. Oil paired Friday's gains after the Federal Reserve's favoured gauge of US inflation came in hotter than forecast for April, indicating that the central bank will raise interest rates again in June and July versus expectations for a pause. And earlier, oil rallied as Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak, who is also the nation's de facto oil minister, walked back his comments from Thursday that suggested that the OPEC Plus alliance would not cut output again at its meeting on the 4th of June. The alliance of 13 Saudi-led nations in the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and 10 other oil producers steered by Russia have had limited success over the past 2 years in trying to push crude prices up with production costs. And meanwhile, gold bulls are still counting on another record high if the chicken little metaphor of saving the world, or more precisely the US economy, from a government debt default or recession doesn't come true. Yet the path of least resistance for the yellow metal over the past 3 weeks has been lower. Gold for June delivery on New York's COMEX settled on Friday's session at $1,946 an ounce. That's up 0.12% on the day. The benchmark gold futures contract fell to a nine-week low of $1,936 earlier in the session, after hitting an all-time high of 2,085 on May the 4th. For the week, June gold was off 2% after another 2% loss the prior week and 2.5% the week before that. The short-term trend has turned bearish, and unless we see signs of a rebound, a further drop, to around 1,910 can hardly be ruled out, said Sunil Kumar Dixit, Chief Technical Strategist, SK Charting. Craig Earlham, analyst at online trading platform Onya, was also in the camp of a cracked upside for gold that isn't entirely broken. Gold's rough week is ending as some investors seek protection in case debt ceiling talks hit a major roadblock at the 11th hour, he said. It is crunch time for Washington, and possibly a TARP scenario from 2008 could occur when Congress initially failed to pass the bank bailout program, which is why some traders are running to gold ahead of the long weekend. If it weren't for another round of hawkish inflation data, gold would have finished the week on a much stronger note, he said. Gold is in the danger zone as optimism remains that a debt ceiling standoff will be resolved and as US economic resilience will force the Fed to keep raising rates higher for longer. Gold can benefit if inflation doesn't prove to be too sticky and the labor market starts to soften. The week ahead will provide clarity on what happens with the US default watch and if the US economy remains too strong and warrants further Fed tightening. Now in Australia, the share market climbed on Friday, pushing the ASX 200 up 0.23% to 7,154. That's its first gain in five trading sessions and ending a week punctuated by worries over the US debt ceiling negotiations. But the gauge finished the week down 1.7%. Local technology shares advanced 1.55% on the ASX 200. Computer chip hopeful BrainChip caught NVIDIA's updraft to climb 6.2% to 43 cents. Shares in the $5.3 billion electronic circuit board software business Altium advanced 3.6% on Friday to $39.85, taking its gains to 8% over the past two trading sessions. And elsewhere, data center business Megaport jumped 6.2% to $6.84. In macroeconomic news, Australian retail sales were flat in April, and food-related sales posted their first fall in more than a year. Retail trade data printed softer than our consensus expectations and suggests the consumer is winding back spending as interest rates and cost of living pressures bite, said Commonwealth Bank economist Belinda Allen. Shares in New Zealand-based healthcare giant Fisher & Paykel tumbled 6.3% to $22.48, after reporting net profits down 34% to $233.16 million Aussie dollars, with sales down 6% over the year. And elsewhere, mortgage financing business Latitude cut its profit guidance for the full year and scrapped its interim dividend. Latitude blamed the downgrade on lost income and higher credit losses in the aftermath of a cyber attack on the company in March. The shares tumbled 3.5% on Friday to $1.25. TPG Capital's takeover target InvoCare said in a trading update that it was taking share in the funeral market. The stock closed up 0.2% to $12.41. Bank stocks firmed with CB up 0.5% to $98.16. ANZ was up 0.51% to $23.47. NAB was up 0.73% to $26.23, and Westpac was up 0.14% to $20.92. Macquarie was up 0.29% to $174, while buy now, pay later firm Zip was at 57 cents following the recent announcement of regulations in the sector. Now, the Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Philip Lowe left federal MPs in little doubt that he was not done lifting interest rates, after telling them that he'd no tolerance for lingering high inflation and would do what he believed needed to be done to bring it down. Dr. Lowe delivered the message this week to members of Parliament's Economics Committee in a briefing that multiple sources described as pessimistic. Although Dr. Lowe's message was not dissimilar to his most recent public statements on the economic outlook, sources said the tone was notably more downbeat because of an emphasis on the risks of achieving the bank's forecast inflation and unemployment targets. Questions focus on the achievability of Dr. Lowe's previously stated narrow path to lower inflation without triggering too severe an economic downturn. With headline inflation running at 7%, the bank expects that it will fall to 4.5% this calendar year and then to a further decline to 3%, which is at the top of the RBA's target band by mid-2025. One source said Dr. Lowe sounded not that confident about being able to walk his narrow path when all risk factors such as a global downturn were factored in. It was pretty pessimistic, the source said. Dr. Lowe's seven-year tenure ends in September, and although the governor is yet to decide, there is little expectation that he will be given another term. He stressed that he doesn't want any tolerance for high inflation for a long time, and he will do what he believes needs to be done. Now, the Aussie two-year bond was at 3.605, and the Aussie US dollar was at 65.19, while the Aussie UK pound was weaker at 52.79. And significantly, it's now worth noting that the ASX 30-day interbank cash rate futures does show a significant further hike in rates, peaking now at an October level of 3.985, and in fact still significantly higher right the way through until the early part of next year. Now, of course, this indicator has been relatively imprecise, but it does show that the markets are now beginning to back the idea of more rate rises in Australia. And finally, in crypto land, Bitcoin continues to drift lower from recent highs. On weekly timeframes, trader and analyst Rec Capital highlighted the significance of the current spot price levels. Just above 26,000, he noted, lies the 200-week moving average, and a breakdown to flip it back to resistance would spell long-term difficulties for bulls. So far, Bitcoin has broken down from the head and shoulders. Bitcoin also recently flipped the neckline of this pattern to new resistance, the red box. He commented, Bitcoin was last at 26,729, while Ether was at 1,831. So, in closing, you can see here that uncertainty is very much to the fore. Questions of the US debt limit, the likelihood that the Fed will continue to lift rates, the probability that the RBA will follow suit in Australia, and of course, the pressure on the consumer because inflation is still raging. So the chances are we're going to see more difficulty in the markets ahead. And of course, as I said earlier on in this show, markets have not fully factored in some of the downside risks that clearly are on the horizon. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.